Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Learning Acharya in person. A couple of weeks off, just didn't work for me for a number of reasons. And back to in person and in Zoom. Welcome to everybody who is joining us this evening. We are learning the Zecha Nishmasa and the Yilui Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May the Neshama continue to merit an Aliyah and a Zechira the Tova in the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. We continue to thank the Fron family very much for their sponsorship of this year, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. So, if you recall last time, it was, we were talking about eating with contemplation and thought. We spent quite a number of weeks talking about this idea with many different insights, because the author, the Mechaber, is speaking about this idea. So, I thought we were finished, but something else occurred to me, an additional nekuda in regard to food. So we've spoken about a number of things. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, Shani Gerlitz suggested, which I quoted in Shir, that food is a way of, if you go to a simcha, remember I told you, I was thinking to myself, like, should I eat it? But she said, no, if you go to somebody's house and they prepare for you, and then you say, oh, I don't want it, I don't eat it, it makes them feel bad. So through that way, you really do a mitzvah, because you make them feel good for the work that they exerted. So I was thinking to myself something else. Another aspect of food and of eating is that through food, we show camaraderie, friendship, and care for another person. Why are you smiling?
I only learned recently that cooking someone a meal is a... I only learned recently that cooking someone a meal is a from concept. Like if someone had a baby, if a family member passed away, if someone's sick, I turned to a coworker and was like, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. Can I bring over dinner? And they stared at me like I had six heads. Like, why would we need food?
Interesting. So Joanna was immediately smiling, and she said that she learned recently that bringing food to another person to demonstrate love, concern, sympathy, care, and affection is a from concept. What happened? A coworker was going through a hard time?
A coworker had a loss in the family, and I was like, oh, what day can I bring over dinner? And they looked at me like,
had a loss in the family, and so Joanna said, oh, can I bring you dinner? And the coworker looked at her like, are you crazy? Why would you bring me food? What does it have to do with anything? So I'll tell you why I was thinking about this, because just there's a lot going on for us right now. There's just a lot going on. Many different ways, aspects. Last Wednesday I couldn't have shared in person. There's just a lot of things are going on. So a very close friend reached out to me and she said she wants to send food for Shabbos. So, and I teach about, we've done a whole series on the importance of giving, but the importance of taking. It's really not, it's beyond the scope of tonight's year, okay? But, so I accepted. I said, you know, if it's too much for you, I totally understand, but I really do accept. It's just a lot going on. So she's really sending me, she texted me that she's sending me, and I accepted. She asked me how many people we have for Shabbos, and she said what she's sending. So I was thinking to myself, maybe Hashem, you know, arrange this specifically now. I will send you chicken on the bone, meatballs, deli roll potato cookies, string bean squash by cucumber salad, cabbage salad with craisins and taro chips. Can we get you two challah and rolls? If you want some sweet babka for the morning, sweet babka, something sweet, I could send that as well. So I was thinking to myself that maybe Hashem Dafka did this now to give me an additional ha'ara, which is that through eating and through food, sometimes when a person is going through different times, we really have no way, tefillah, primary, but you want to do something also concrete to show them. You could say, I'm davening for you, but we have this indeed. So Malki Sultan says, yeah, we're all coming. So Malki Sultan says, we're all coming. The funniest is that, and tonight my married couple said they're coming for Shabbos. He said, what? You're coming for Shabbos? Usually I say like, oh, amazing, but it was just funny. So this is what's being sent. Chicken on the bone, meatballs, deli roll potato, the string bean squash by cucumber salad, cabbage salad. Can we get you two challah rolls? I can also pick you up a babka for something sweet. So I was thinking to myself that for all these weeks, have we been talking about food and the Yetzer Hara and eating and mindfulness and what is the inner ratzon want, the outer ratzon want. And then I was really thinking that food is another way that we show each other love and support. And Joanna's saying that it's like a from concept. Like she said to her coworker, can I pick you up dinner? And the coworker's like, why would you pick me up dinner? For us, it's so normal. It's the most...
It was my immediate reaction. Like, what night can I do this for you?
Right. So they're saying on the Zoom, she had the same idea, that it's really a Jewish concept. And so maybe another aspect to add to the addition of the mitzvah of food is not only, like Shani proposed, I don't know if it was to validate my feelings of eating at the Simcha or not, but when someone prepares for you, you should eat it. Because to say, you know, I don't eat this food, I don't eat that food, the person's going to feel so bad. But on the other hand, the way that we send and accept food also really shows very much and how we are all intertwined. And it's extreme. Oh, I was thinking, because you know I love Shorashim, right? Lechem, which really represents food, is made up of three letters, Lamed, Ches, Mem. The Lamed, when it's spelled out, is Lomed, Lamad or Lomed, because every Hebrew, every letter of the Aleph base has the revealed value, just a Lamed, and then the hidden value, Lomed. So it could be read as Lomed or Lamad Cham. Cham is warmth. So through food, through sending lechem, we are demonstrating, teaching, showing lo meid cham, warmth to somebody else. So this is really another very important aspect of the idea of food. Malki Sultan said, when someone said shivach, it's a mitzvah to bring meals. So the person sitting feels in the midst of their darkness, people care about them. It's brought down in the Rav Shlomo Zalman biography, the biography by Chanuch Teller, forget what it's called, whatever it's called, from Jusum his word about Rav Shlomo Zalman, that there was a divorced individual in his neighborhood, and someone in the family was nifter, one of his parents, and he went, and Rav Shlomo Zalman knew that he wasn't going to have anyone to prepare the meal for him. And when the mourner came back from the felt, he found Rav Shlomo Zalman waiting for him with a bagel and an egg and the traditional meal of a mourner. And it's something so interesting. So, you know, going through right now, just a lot of things. And then my close friend offering to send Shabbos food. And then I accepted. And then thinking about what we're learning at Shari, and that food is really a way that we really show care and concern for each other. I'm going to take you to the Parsha, which is extremely interesting, because I want to show you something fascinating in this week's Parsha. So I'm going to begin in Perek Yud Ches. So for the people at home, could you see on my screen that I'm in Perek Yud Ches? Now, for the people here, you could listen. This is not an in-depth text-based, but I'm just going to be quoting Pesukim. You ought to get a chumash. You could get a chumash, but you could listen. The parasha begins in Perek Yud Ches. Okay, the parasha begins in Perek Yud Ches, Sefer Shmos. Parshas Yisro, and it's really Matan Torah. Yud Tes and Chaf make up the Parshas of Matan Torah, along with Mishpatim. What's Perek Yud Ches? Yisro comes to the Israelite encampment in the desert. He brings Tzipporah, Gershom, Eliezer. So there's two sections to Yisro coming. The first section is that he comes. Moshe tells him everything that God did for Israel. Yisro gives a Baruch Hashem, literally. I'm not exaggerating. He literally says, Baruch Hashem, Asher Yisil Aschem, Mimitzrayim. And then they have a meal together. And the second half is Yisro sees Moshe judging the people, and he gives advice. I want to focus on an interesting maysa by the first part of Perek Yud Ches, which is Yisro comes. So he comes and he hears everything that Moshe tells him that Hashem did. Rashi says, Mechamas Amalek, Yeridas Hayam, Kriyas Yamsuf. Hears about all the miracles. And then the Pasuk says, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis, which you could see here on my screen. Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe Ola Uzvachim. And Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, took Ola offerings and Zvachim, two different kinds of sacrifices, the Elohim to God. So Yisro offers Korbanos. Remember, he's been so grateful. Everything okay? Okay? Don't worry, we're okay? Okay, he's so grateful for everything that Hashem did, Baruch Hashem, that he saved you from the hands of Egypt, from the hands of Paro, that he saved the people from under the hands of Egypt. Now I know God is greater than all the other gods. Yisro tried on all the Avodah Zarah because of the matter that was schemed against you. And Yisro took Korbanos. And then the Pasuk says, Vayavo Aharon v'chol ziknei Yisrael le'echol lechem imcho sein Moshe lefnei Elokim. And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with the father-in-law of Moshe before God. So Yisro has a great zchus here. He came to bring Tzipporah and Gershom and Eliezer, and he's so overwhelmed by everything Hashem does. He is goosebumped by Yichad Yisro. He's so overwhelmed by everything Hashem does that he merits that Aaron and the Zakenim have a meal with him. So the Gedolei Ador sit down with Yisro. He's a Kohen, he's a priest, he's a former of the Avodah Zarah. What did he do to merit this chos? Furthermore, where was Moshe? It doesn't say Moshe sat with him. It says, Vayavu Aaron v'chol ziknei shol le'echol lechem imchol sein Moshe. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, that's not my question, Moshe heichan haya, where was Moshe? So Rashi says, Moshe was standing over Yisro, he was being mishambish. Moshe was the server. Moshe was giving kavod to Yisro in serving Yisro, and Yisro was eating with Aaron and the Zakenim. This is such a kavod, this is such an honor. What did Yisro do that he deserved such an honor, that when he came to the Israelite encampment, everyone stopped, and all the gedolim said, Tzadik ba'leir, and ever going to go and sit down and have a meal with you? And Moshe was serving him. So to answer that question, we have to go back to this in Perek Yirchas, this week's Sajra. Remember, the past month for sure, maybe more, we're talking about food based on the author of the Sefer. And just being that my friend offered to prepare me Shabbos really gave me a different idea into food. You know, we're speaking so much about the Yetzer Hara, mindful eating. Do I want to eat it? Don't I want to eat the Yetzer Hara? Does want me to the Yetzer Tov? Does want me to the Neshama? Does it? The external? Does? All these ideas of food. But I realized, like you said, it's a Jewish concept that one of the ways that we express love for your fellow, what you love for yourself, yes, of course we daven, but that we want to do something more concrete. And the most instinctive reaction is, can I send you dinner? Which is why you said to your coworker, and she's like, why would you send me dinner? So what did Yisro do that he merited that Aaron and the Zekanim, Aaron and the elder, sat down with Yisro la'echol lechem? And I think, I was thinking about it, I wrote in my sefer, you would see my sefer, it's falling apart, there's papers all over the place, and notes, can I know how, everywhere. Oy. Baruch Hashem. I have any zchuyos, maybe it's a sefer. Lechem lomeid cham. Lomeid is the lamed spelled out. Cham, you teach, you exhibit, you demonstrate warmth for somebody else. So what does Yisro do that he merits that everyone stops and they do a whole tzaddik bali ear in honor of Yisro? To answer that, we have to go back to Perek Beis of Shemos. Perek Beis of Shemos is when baby Moshe is born. He's put into the Nile River in the basket, floating down the river. Bas Paro saves him. Okay. He grows up in the house of Paro. He goes out the first day. He sees a taskmaster, a slave driver, hitting a Hebrew. He stands up for the Hebrew. He kills the Egyptian. The next day, he sees two Israelites fighting. He drives to bring peace. He has to run away because Paro wants to come. He runs away. And what happens when he runs away? Vayivakesh laharogas Moshe, Paro wants to kill Moshe. Vayivrach Moshe mipnei Paro. So Moshe has to run away from before Pharaoh. He dwells in the land of Midian by the Be'er. Okay, so all nice meetings happen by the Be'er. Okay, yes, people also send for smachot, 100%. I said it's a way we show care and concern, not only in times of challenges or sympathy, but it's a way we show love and care and concern in all times. It's so instinctive that you want to send somebody food. I'll tell you a funny story. This happened to me a few weeks ago. I haven't had much time lately for anything. So a friend was making a bar mitzvah, so I wanted to send something. So did you ever buy? So now everyone's going to know. Did you ever buy? I learned it from my sister-in-law. Did you ever buy the Kinair frozen cookies? They're delicious. They're yashan. They're power. They go out of the box, into the oven, and 15, 12 minutes later, you're perfect cookies. I wanted to send something because we want to send food for a simcha, yes. So I sent a plate of cookies. Before Shabbos, my husband, the shaliach, drove it over. So a week later, she texts me, thank you so much for the delicious cookies. We enjoyed them so much. Can I get the recipe? Next week, obviously I'm not going to lie, I sent her voice and I said, I'll tell you the truth, I learned it from my sister-in-law, she knows my sister-in-law, I said, you got the recipe too, go to the freezer section in the grocery, buy the Kinara chocolate chips, s'mores cookies and put them in your oven and you could have them also. So yes, 100% we also send for simchas. Okay, so Moshe has to run away because Paro wants to kill him. Vayeshiv Be'eretz Midian, Vayeshiv al Be'er. He dwells in the land of Midian, he's by the Be'er. And the Kohen Midian, the priest of Midian, had seven daughters and they were the shepherdesses. And every day they would come and they would draw water, they would fill the troughs and they would give the sheep of their father to drink. And every day the shepherds would come and chase the girls away. And one day, Moshe's by the bear. Now, what's Moshe's personality? He stands up for the downtrodden. He stands up for the Israelite who's being beaten. He tries to bring peace between two Israelites. Shmos Medrash Rabbah, Medrash Shmos Rabbah, 2-2. He runs after this little sheep that doesn't have any koch, that's so tired. He always wants to go for the weak, which makes him a perfect leader. So he sees that the shepherds, male shepherds, are bullying the female shepherdesses. What does he do? Vayaka Moshe. Moshe gets out. Vayoshian. And he saves them. Vayashk etzonam. He gives the flocks to drink, which is exactly what Yaakov did in Perek Chof Tes when he gives Rachel's flocks to drink as well. So they go home early. They usually have to wait by the well till all the shepherds finish giving their flocks to drink. Let's say they get home at 8 o'clock at night. Tonight, they got home at 6 o'clock. But Tovona el Ru'uel Aviyam, they come close to Ru'uel, their father. They go home. And he says, Madu mihartan bohayam, why did you come home so fast today? You usually get home 2 hours later. Did you not give the sheep to drink? So they say, no. But Tomarna, Ish mitzri hitzilana miyad haroim. No, an Egyptian man saved us from the shepherds. V'gam delo delalanu, he drew water for us. V'yesh get hatzon, he gave the flocks to drink. V'yomer el benosa v'ayo. Where is he? Someone saved you by the well and you left him there? Lama le'ze azavten et ha'ish? Why did you abandon? Why did you leave the man? Kirenolo, go call him. V'yochal lechem. Yisro, now they don't know who Moshe is. They don't know that he's going to be the Redeemer. They just know that there's some guy by the well who's obviously a stranger in town. They never saw him before. He did a good deed. You left him by the well. And what does he want to do to express appreciation? He doesn't say, I want to pay him, go find him. Listen, they had money. Avram paid 400 silver shekel over the socher for Ma'ar HaMachpelah. He could have also paid him. He doesn't say, I want to pay him. What does he want to do to demonstrate friendship and a karas hatov? La'ayo, where is he? Lama zeh azavten et ha'ish. Why did you leave the man there? Kir enelo, go call him, v'yochal lechem, and let him eat bread. And then, later, how is Yisro rewarded for this? How is Yisro rewarded for this? What does the pasuk tell us? The pasuk tells us after he brings karbanos, vayavo aron v'chol zikne Yisrael la'echol lechem im chosein Moshe, and who's serving Moshe, the one who he called to come have a meal of bread, who he told his daughters, how could you leave him there? How do we show karas hatov? How do we show concern for another person? We want to feed him something, and they called him in. And then when Yisrael joins the Israelite encampment, what do? They sit down and honor him, Aaron and the Zakenim, the same words. La'echol lechem lomeid cham. Teach someone else, demonstrate to someone else the warmth in your heart. How? Through giving them a meal of bread. So this is an idea that occurred to me a number of years ago when I saw the Lashon of the Psukim, how similar the Lashon was. Vayochol lechem lechol lechem. So I already know, and we should all know, that nothing in the Chumash is an accident. It can't be an accident that Yisro says vayochol lechem, he'll eat bread. And when Yisro has a meal, it says vayochol lechem. But I'm actually going to quote a Medrash. Baruch Hashem, I found it in the Medrash, so the Medrash actually picks up on this, not Michal Haaretz, but I was very excited. If you think of something that the Medrash thinks of, you're in a much better position. Okay, so what does the Medrash have to say? I will just tell you that Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky, before I tell you the Medrash, Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky in his Parsha Parables, the series on Chumash, he tells over the following story about Rabbi Mendel Kaplan. Rabbi Mendel Kaplan, Zatzal, was, I think, the Mashgiach Ruchani of Philadelphia Yeshiva. So Rabbi Mendel Kaplan was traveling once to some place in America, and he drove through the night, and he was very tired. And he got to a certain shul for Shachris, and he was so tired that he was sitting during Shachris. He didn't have the koach to stand. And after Shachris, a fellow came over to give him a shalom aleichem, and he said, I notice you must be new here. I see you were sitting during Shachris. Now, Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky tells us over, so I don't know who would do such a thing, but apparently. So sometimes we say things we don't think or don't mean. So he said to him, I see you were sitting during Shabbos. Why were you sitting? You're supposed to be standing. Rabbi Mendel Kaplan said to him, if you really cared about me, if you were really concerned, you would ask me if I had a place to go, if I had a place to wash up, if I had somewhere to eat breakfast. You wouldn't ask me, why am I sitting? So we see that in Yahadus, first of all, our Yamim Tovim and our Shabbosos are centered around food. Uchol minei matamim, basar v'dagim, uchol minei matamim. Our Yamim Tovim, we have a mitzvah of Su'udas Yom Tov. We're not so far away from Purim, one of the four mitzvahs of Purim. Look at the mitzvahs of Purim. What is Mishloach Manos? One second. Does Mishloach have the same words as Lechem? Lamed? Not the Shin, Mishloach.
Not the Shin.
Not the Shin, right? Right. Okay. We have a mitzvah Mishloach Manos, which is, it's a mitzvah to send food to your friends, Ish L'Re'ehu. We have a mitzvah of Sudas Purim. And we have a mitzvah of Matanas Avyonim. The whole purpose of Matanas Avyonim, you know what it's supposed to be? So that the Ani has the provisions to buy food, to have the Seuda. So three out of the four mitzvos all revolve around food. And the last one is Mikra Megillah. We tell the story which takes the place of Halal, yeah?
In the Megillah itself, there's also a lot of food.
Okay, very, very nice. The Megillah itself also revolves around food. No, so it's not a joke. I'm really not making a joke. So I think in concurrent with all of our study these past weeks, and then my friend offering to make a Shabbos really gave me a whole other side. Plus the parasha is Yisro's Vayochal Lechem, and he says to his daughters years earlier, Ayo, Lama Azavten Eta Ish Kerenolo V'yochal Lachem, really gives us added horror. So I want to quote from the Medrash. Oh, so Mendel Kaplan, yeah. So Mendel Kaplan said, if you really cared about me, you wouldn't ask me why I'm sitting down during davening. You would ask me if I had a place to eat. So I want to quote from Medrash Shmos Rabba 27:7, Parsha Chof Zayin, Simon Zayin. Okay, Davar Acha. Oh, the Medrash begins by quoting the first pasuk of it's about this connection between these. It's the connection between these two meals. The Medrash begins by quoting the first pasuk of the Sedra. The first pasuk of the Sedra is Vayishma Yisro Chosein Moshe as Kol Asher Asar Elokim LiYisrael. Vayishma Yisro. Yisro came. Okay. He came to the desert and came in. Good. The Medrash begins with Vayishma Yisro. Hadahu Dichtiv. And now the Medrash quotes a pasuk from Koheles. Shlach lach mecha al pnei hamayim. Cast forth your bread over the surface of the water. Ki berov hayamim timtza'eno. After many days you will find it. The pasuk in Koheles, 11:1, Yod Aleph says, Shlach lach mechal pnei hamayim, send your bread, lachem, over the face of the water, ki berav hayamim timtza'ena, because after many days, you will find it. Okay? What is this talking about? So the Medrash is now going to explain what this pasuk is referring to. One second. According to the simple meaning, Artsko Fanot, I'm quoting from Artsko Medrash Rabbah, according to the simple meaning, the verse urges the performance of charitable deeds, even in situations where the benefactor does not expect to be repaid, the verse is teaching you ultimately such deeds will be rewarded. So cast forth your bread upon the face of the water. After many days, you will find it. In other words, what you cast away ultimately will come back to you. Good? Okay. What are we talking about? V'chi b'nei Adam shotim heim? What's a shota?
Stupid person.
Correct. Are people such fools? Shanosnim lachmam al pnei mayim. The Medrash is telling you, put your bread in water. Is that what we should do? We should go take our pantries and our kitchens and go to the Atlantic Ocean. I know I lecture today at the Nars and take all my food and put it in the water. What is that talking about? V'chini b'nei adam shotim heim. Shanosnim lachmam al pnei mayim. Are people such fools that they put their bread into water? That can't be what the pasuk means. So in other words, the Medrash is saying that this pasuk cannot be taken literally. It has to be teaching us something from Koheles. Okay. Va'almi Amar, who is it talking about?
Yisro.
Well, why am I bringing this to you? Al Yisro. It's speaking about Yisro. Shanason lachmo l'Moshe. He gave his bread to who?
Moshe.
Shanamar, like the pasuk says. So you could imagine, he was very, very happy to come across this medrash because Baruch Shekivanti, if you have a thought, it could be a very nice Torah thought, but if Chazal teach it, then it's for sure MS. If you teach it, maybe it's MS, maybe it's not. It sounds good. I mean, it can't not be some degree of MS because the Lashon of the Pesukim is so similar. But if the Medrash says it, then it's absolutely MS Lamito. So the Medrash says this is referring to Yisro. Shanasal Nachmo Moshe. He gave his bread to Moshe. Shanemar Kir'ana Lo V'yochal Lechem. Like he says to his daughters, go call him and he will eat bread. Have, that's what the pasuk means. Shlach glach mechal pnei mayim. Who's that referring to?
Yisro is the one sending out the bread through his daughters.
Shlach glach mechal is Yisro. Al pnei mayim is referring to who?
Think.
Moshe? Yeah, why? Exactly. Shlach lach mecha, cast forth your bread, refers to Yisro. Why? Shanemar kerenu lo v'yochalechem, because he said to his daughters, call him. He cast his bread out. But what is al pnei amayim? He cast his bread to Moshe. How is Moshe al pnei amayim? Because what do we learn in the beginning of Perek Beis? What does his mother do to him? She puts him into the Yamsuf. From there, Bas Paro finds him, and he's named Moshe, Ki Min Hamayim Mishisi. That's exactly right. So the Medrash says, Shlach Lachem, cast forth your bread, this is Yisro, Al Pnei Amayim. What's Al Pnei Amayim? Says the Medrash, quote, Zem Moshe. This is referring to Moshe. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, Ki Min Hamayim Mishisi. So you see how Chazal is so medactic with every nekuda of the psukim in Tanakh. Shlach lachem cha, this is Yisro. Al pnei mayim, this is Moshe, because Moshe came from water. By the way, lachem and mayim are two components of what you would have at the meal. Who does it go back to? Avram Avinu. Okay? The ekach pas lechem. Okay, what does he say when they come? V'ayar v'yatz l'chasom mipesach ha'ohel, v'yishtach v'u arza, v'ayom rim natsasichei b'necha, al natavar me'al abdecha, yukach nama amayim, v'rachatzu aglacham, v'yishanu tachas ha'etz, v'akach paslacham. What does Avram want to do for the guest? The first, the founder of the Umbay Yisraelis, what's the first Jew, the prototype, he's not even really a Jew yet, but what's the first thing we see? What has he got to give them? Water and bread. So shlach lach mecha al pnei amayim, cast forth your bread. This is Yisro al pnei amayim. Zamosha shenemar ki min amayim mishisiyu, because from the water I drew him. Lama, what's the end of the pasuk in Mishlei? The end of the pasuk is ki berov hayamim timtzeenu, because after many days you will find it. That's the end of the pasuk from Kohelas. So it says the Midrash ki berov hayamim timtzeenu, after many days you will find it. What does that mean? That's what I told you without having a medrash. But now the medrash says, after many days you will find it. What happens to Israel when he comes to the Israelite encampment?
Everyone
else. Ah, Shanemar, like the pasuk says, Vayavo Aaron v'chol ziknei Yisrael la'echol lechem. Aaron and all the elders, the gedolei ador, they make a whole parade, a whole seuda. For who? For Yisro. Why? Because he cast his bread, shlach lach b'cha, ze Yisro, al p'nei amayim, ze Moshe, ki berav hayamim timtze'eno, after many days you will find it, will come back to you. When did it come back to Yisro? When he came to the encampment, and he said, Baruch Hashem, oh my gosh, Hashem is so amazing that he saved you. They sit down and they have a meal. And what was Moshe doing? He was, says Rashi, mishamish. He was the servant, so to speak. He was the server who was serving them, and we see from here, b'midah she'adam modeh modedin lo, the way in which a person measures, so he will be measured by heaven. Yisro measured by serving Moshe his bread, and ultimately he was measured in return with such tremendous kavod. So that's one thing I want to tell you. Lechem is lomed cham. Lomed is lam, it's spelled out. Cham, we teach, we demonstrate, we show warmth for another person. Shulchan, and I've said this before, is a contraction of two words. It's easy. Shel chen. Chen is like charm, or I don't know, but what?
Grace,
charm. It's really a word you can't translate into English. Public service announcement, okay? Shel, what did you say?
Allure.
I can't hear.
Allure?
I don't know what you're saying.
A-L-L-U-R-E. Like an allure.
Allure. So, grace, charm, allure. So, b'maisa, I can't translate chen exactly, but it's b'erach, those things. Esther had chen. We're coming up to prayer in a month. Yosef had chen. Shulchan is something like appealing, allure, charm, grace. Shulchan is a contraction of two words. Shel, chen. It's a matter that brings grace, attraction, allure, in a positive way, between the parties who sit down at the table together. Then I was also thinking, Seuda, the Shorish is Samech Ayin Dalid, which is the foundation of our Yamim Tovim, of our Purim. If you spell out Samech Ayin Dalid, Somech Ani Delet. Somech Ani Delas. Sustain the pauper at the entrance to your home. Open your door. Somech Ani Delas. I mean, you can't make these things up, because you can't make up Lashon HaKodesh. Just the more I learn and the more I study, the more I expand, the more I teach, the more you realize how divine Torah is. It's just like not normal. It's really not normal. Just look at the words that represent food. Lechem lomed cham. Shulchan shel chen. Seuda, the shorosh being Samech Ayin Dalet. Samech is Somech. Ayin is the Ani. And Dalet is a Dalet. And the Gemara also says Dalet is Dal, like a poor person. So it teaches you that through the Seuda, and that's part of the mitzvah of Purim, Matanas Lav Yonim is so that the poor person could have provisions to fulfill the mitzvah of Seuda's Purim. So I don't know if you listened to the beginning of the Shia. Okay, so you have to catch the beginning of the Shia, because what I was saying is I was referring to the idea that you had the other week. I said, I don't know if it was to give me some validation that I could eat the dessert when I went somewhere, but you said if someone works hard to prepare and you don't eat it, it's insulting to the person, right? And I started off by saying that coupled with the fact that a lot of things are going on, and a friend is preparing me Shabbos, plus this pasuk in the parasha about Yisrael made me see a whole different approach to food, which we have not discussed yet, which is how food in Yahadus, going all the way back to Avram Avinu, could be one of the highest forms of chesed, and this Seuda, the lechem, the achila, the shulchan, is a way of showing care and concern and camaraderie and friendship to another Jew. Okay? Oh, I also thought of something so interesting for the first time that I never thought of before when I was learning through the parasha this past week, Parshas B'Shalach, also about food. the man, which was the heavenly food that sustained them in the desert for 40 years. By the way, I was thinking man when I was on Shabbos. Mem is 40 and Nun is 50. They were in the desert for 40 years and it was 50 days till Har Sinai. Okay. So something interesting that I noticed about the man that I never saw before, this is why you always have to relearn, because I never noticed it before about the man. It's in Perek Tes Zai in chapter 16 of Shemos. Zeh ha-davar asher tziva Hashem. I really hope, you know, I'm so nervous about my recorder. It was here that it wasn't working. Yeah, okay, fine. It's Baruch Hashem, fine. I have PTSD from the one time in Shaarei that the recorder app didn't work. And in every single cheer.
But it was a new phone.
No, it was a new app, I think. But still, it's made me, gives me, okay, Baruch Hashem, it's fine. I need to change my brain pathways to stop worrying about the recorder app. Zeh ha-davar asher tziva Hashem. Liktu mimenu. This is the matter that Hashem commanded. This is Moshe talking to the Bnei Yisrael about the man. They don't know what it is. It just fell for the first time. It's the heavenly talking about food. It's the food that's going to sustain them. Ish lefi achlo. So this struck me. It never struck me before, which is why you always have to relearn. What does it say about the Korban Pesach, which is also the second national mitzvah? The first national mitzvah is Kiddush HaChodesh. Second national mitzvah is Korban Pesach, which is, by the way, food. I'm not making a joke. It's unbelievable. Look at all these biblical sources that relate to eating and food, and by Avram sharing food, and by Yisro Moshe sharing food, and by the Korban Pesach sharing food. Because what does it say by the Korban Pesach? Everyone has to take a sela bayis, sela base avos. Korban Pesach begins in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel. And on the 10th of the month, of this month, only on the 10th of Nisan by Yitzias V'Tayim, every man has to take sela bayis, sela beis avos, a sheep for the house, a sheep for the father's house. Ve'im yimat habayis miyos miseh. There's not enough people in the house to eat the sheep. Ve'lachachu ushchenu ha'korov al-biso. He should take along with his neighbor who's close to his house. Be'michsos nefashos techosu al-aseh. Every person should be counted according to his consumption on the sheep. Ish lefi achlo techosu al-aseh. Every man, what he could eat. Did you hear what I just said? Ish lefi achlo. By the Korban Pesach, it's Ish Lefi Achlo. What is it by the man? It's the exact same, literally the exact same words. The first thing you have to know about the man is Liktu Mimenu, gather Ish Lefi Achlo. You should only take however much you could eat. This is fascinating because the second national mitzvah after the first one of Kiddush HaChodesh has to do with Ish Lef, also food, Ish Lefi Achlo. So the Torah is teaching you the proper approach to eating in Yehadas. Korban Pesach. And now we come to the next instance of food, and what is it? Man, ish lefi achlo. You only need to take what you need. Don't take more than you need. Every person according to what he could eat. Then it says about the man, omer lo gogolus, an omer for the head. Count mispar nafsho seichem, the number of souls, ish lasher ba'alo tikachu. It's the exact same thing. Every man, according to the number of souls that are in your tent, that's how much you should take. What did it say about the Korban Pesach? B'michsas nefashos techozu al aseh. Count how many souls there are in your house, in your neighbor's house, and that's how you're counted. There are three parallels between the man and Korban Pesach that I never noticed before. Only this year. One is so obvious. Ish lefi achlo. Literally the same phrase is used in both situations. By the Korban Pesach and by the man, it's only according to what he could eat. But I also thought of something else. P is not only according to what he could eat. P is a peh. Okay, if you look, open up in Sefer Tehillim, Perek Lamed Tes, the Ani Machzom Lefi Ba'od L'Rasha L'Negdi. I will muzzle my mouth while the evil one is opposite me, while the Yetzer is opposite me. I will muzzle my mouth. Pei Yud is mouth. Proof is Perek Lamed Tes of Tehillim. I'm sure there's many other times in Tanakh. The Ani Machzom Lefi. I will muzzle my mouth Ba'od L'Rasha L'Negdi, while the Yetzer Hara is opposite me. So, ish lefi achlo, exactly. It doesn't only mean each man according to what he could eat. It means each man, ish lepi, in his mouth, achlo, he shall eat. How much can you eat? How much could you put into your mouth? We don't eat in a gluttonous fashion. See the Ramban to Vayikra 19:2. A person has to eat what their mouth can handle, what their body can handle. Ish lefi achlo is two meanings. One, each man according to what he could eat. And two, ish, a man lefi, into his mouth, achlo. This exact same phrase occurs both by the Korban Pesach and by the man. The next similarity is, Omer la gogolus, mispar nafsho sechem ish lasher ba'alo tikachu. The exact same idea. By the Korban Pesach, it's take account of how many souls there are. And that's how many people are counted. And here the same thing. How many people are in your tent? Ish lasher ba'alo tikachu. However many people you have in your tent, that's how much man you take. However many people you have in your home, that's who will be counted for the Korban Pesach. And finally, there's one more similarity. Vayomer Moshe aleihem ish al yoser mimenu ad boker. It's unbelievable. How could it be that you learn the same sukkah every single year and you never notice it? And then one time Hashem just says, oh, here you go. Like, how could it possibly be? And then when you realize that it's so obvious, it's like, how come I never noticed this before? It's just staring at you straight in the face. Vayomer Moshe aleihem ish al yoser mimenu ad boker. One of the halachos of the Korban Pesach is, there's not allowed to be noser. You're not allowed to leave any over until the morning. So the Torah is teaching us, it's fascinating, both of these have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. How do we commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim? Shulchan Aruch, by sitting down and having a meal.
When you said Se'uda, Somech Ani Dalech, I was thinking of Kol Dichvin for...
You were thinking of?
Kol Dichvin, when you...
Kol Dichvin, Yesi V'yachok. So how do we celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim? By having a meal. So... three similarities between the first, the second national mitzvah, Korban Pesach, and the food, the miraculous food that sustained us in the desert. One, there are both ish lefi achlo. Two, according to how many people are in the home slash tent, you shall be counted. And three, they are both not allowed to be left over until the morning. This idea of not stockpiling, because Hashem will provide for you every single day. And that's what Rashi says here on Parshas B'Shalach. Aaron was commanded to take some man and put it into a tzinsenes, into a jar. Why was he commanded to put it into a jar? It would be storage for doros. So when the generations would say, excuse me, in the times of the Nevi'im, we can't learn Torah, we have to go to work. The Navi would take out the tzinsenes on the jar of heavenly food and say, we have to make time for Torah. Hashem sustained the Jews for 40 years in the desert. He could sustain you as well. So three similarities. So it's fascinating. And in Mamash, I never noticed it before, that we see this idea that the Torah is teaching you not only that we, of course, have to eat, your body needs fuel, but how to eat.
Maybe that's also why our immediate reaction when to show support or to show love is to feed someone. Like the first mitzvah was Kiddush HaChodesh, but then the second mitzvah was really like the Kedusha of Achila.
But it wasn't only the Achila, it was specifically go to your neighbor and invite them to join your meal.
Like that's what's so
it wasn't only Achila. V'im yimad habayit miyo misa v'lakachu ushcheno hakaro v'albe. So it's davka to go. Because what family could really eat a whole sheep?
No,
so the point is not only to eat, to go to someone else and share food.
But that's why that's so our immediate reaction. Our immediate reaction when we hear something is like, oh, we have to like feed you. And also, as I'm thinking about it, as you're describing it, Abraham gave more than just bread. When Yaakov leaves for Laban's house, the first time that someone only gets bread, when Yaakov asks Hashem, Beged Lobosh,
Lacham Lachol Beged Lobosh,
is that the first time where it's just bread? Every other time that I can
wait,
think
when
of
Yaakov food, goes to run away, he's going to Laban's house, he says, V'im nason yokim lachem lacho u beged lobos v'shavti b'shalom obesabi v'yisa lokim li. That if you give me bread to eat and clothing to wear and bring me in peace back to my father's house. So what's your question?
Every other time I'm thinking of the instance of food prior to that, it's more elaborate. That's the first time where it's only bread. And part of it is, as I'm thinking about it, like maybe Yaakov was asking for Hashem's care and concern as he leaves.
He is asking for Hashem's care and concern, but also it's only bread because the most basic requirement that a person needs is represented in bread. Everything above that is like a luxury. Like when they went into the Teva, where is it in Rashi? When they went in, they were not allowed to eat meat. That person shouldn't eat meat when the world is shrayi butzar, when the world is like in a situation of an emergency. You shouldn't, what does it mean you shouldn't eat meat? It means you shouldn't be going having to have a three-course meal with 10 different kinds of steaks and carving stations when the world is in an emergency. So lechem represents basic sustenance. So Yaakov Avinu is saying, at the very least, give me lechem lechel u'beged lilbosh. At the very least, these are the things that I need you to give in order to sustain me. So I just think it's incredible that we see all of this focus on food, and when and the Midrash, and when you start to analyze even the root words that we use in Lashon HaKodesh to describe the meal and to describe food, you see deeper messages. It's brought down in the Rabbi David Feinstein biography. I remember reading this. I know I'm quoting it every single year. You don't, nobody needs to read it, because Michal is just telling you the whole book, but you should still read it. Okay, so it's brought down in Rabbi David Feinstein biography, and I was so happy to read it because I had heard it, but now I actually read it, that a newspaper, a Jewish newspaper, was like running, you may have heard, it was famous. After he was nifter, the story was going around. So a Jewish newspaper was doing like a series, you know, like Ask the Gadol. So they were asking, but not only the Gadol, they were asking different prominent people, business people, whatever, different people in the community, if you could have a meal with anyone from Jewish history, who would it be? So one person said the Chassam Sofer, another person said the Chofetz Chaim, another person says Moshe Rabbeinu, another person says the Rambam. David Feinstein answered, quote, any three aniyim. You could have a meal with anyone from Jewish history, who would it be? Yeah. Sarah Schneer, Rabbi Tsinkanievsky, who would it be? Rabbi David Feinstein answered, any three aniyim. Su'uda samech alein dalet is somech ani dalas. Open your door and sustain the poor person. Of course, it relates to Kol Dichvin Yesiv Yechal. It relates to the Karban Pasach. V'lakachu ushchenu ha-karav al-beso. Not only does the Torah teach us that we extend warmth and appreciation of others. And again, I didn't only mean in times of tzara. It's just on a comment that we do for Smechot as well. We do, like my cookies that I sent to that girl. If you missed the cookies, there, go back and listen. So I told her, honestly, I said, you could go to the freezer section and buy them. But even if you don't have time to do home baking, you still want to send what? Send something of food, because it represents such an innate need in Knesset. So I think the shir is so important. So I thank Hashem for the parasha, always. I thank my friend who's sending me Shabbos. I thank the Shari shir for bringing us to this point, because I think it's such a beautiful way, B'li Neder, to end, because you never know, to end the topic of food, because it's a whole different perspective. Until now, we've been talking about the battle between the Yetzer and the Yetzer Adam. So this isn't a haskama to go buy 10 donuts after Shir and eat them all in a sitting, or to start eating only, you know, refined flour and deep-fried foods and cut-up fruits and vegetables. Everyone, obviously, is going to use their seichel. And yes, sometimes we will still have a battle between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara with food. But what we're learning from many Torah sources and many places in Chumash and the Yomim Tovim and the Midrash and stories of modern-day Gedolim and the Shorashim is that food ultimately represents a very holy place in Yahadus, because it is one way of deeply connecting with somebody else. Like Yisro said, Va'ayo, where is he? Lama azavten esaish, how could you leave him there? Kir'enu v'yochal lachem, says the Midrash, quoting Kohelas, Hashleich lach mecha al pnei hamayim, because after many days, you will find it. And this is about the exchange between Yisro and Moshe. I want to end by quoting from Rabbi Tsinkanievsky, Allah HaShalom. One second. Oh, very nice. Very, very nice. Someone just posted, and she's right. There's a halacha. You're not supposed to eat with... everyone asks their own rabbi. I don't paskin anything. I say that all the time. We're not supposed to eat and certainly not drink with non-Jews, because it's a social activity that can lead to intermarriage. The Gemara talks about this. If you could look in the Gemara by what the daughters of Midian did to persuade Parshas Balak, Sanhedrin 105, 109, that one of the things that they did was they gave the Jewish men Yayin Nochri. Very nice. We don't drink with them because it can lead to intermarriage. Very nice. Oh, so someone said the first mitzvah Hashem gave Adam was to eat. Okay, we spent 3 weeks talking about that. So if you're the person who missed those shiurim, go back on YU Torah. I'm not even addressing that. Okay, I'm not even addressing that. I wanted to quote from Rabbi Tsinkanievsky. No, it's a valid comment, but we literally spent 3 weeks on it. So that's why I'm not talking about it now. Rabbi Tsinkanievsky. I don't have time to quote everything I wanted to quote, but a little bit. Okay. 1 month after the Weintraubs moved in, they moved from Brooklyn to Bnei Brak in the 1950s. They lived next door to the Kanievskys for 49 years. Okay. Rabbitson Ruth Weintraub met Rabbitson Kanievsky the day after she moved in when, it's in parentheses, quote, Batsheva knocked on the door, introduced herself, and started to help take care of her children as if she were the mother. Afterwards, Rabbitson Kanievsky would send her daughters to help. 1 month after the Weintraubs moved in, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I have to clear with my family, that last year, Pesach, when we left Eretz Yisrael, the last Sunday we went to the Gedolim in Bnei Brak. I'm almost 99% sure it was Rabbitson Weintraub because she had made Aliyah. She spoke fluent English. She's the one who told me to start davening Mara for Shalom Bayis. But Shai Shachter told me that her husband, besides her being chavrusas with Rav Chaim Zecher Tzadik Levecha for 30 years, he said her husband was an Adam Gadol in his own right as well. Okay. A month after the Weintraubs move in, our time's up. I just want to say this about the Rabbitson. As the two women were chatting outside, they noticed a bris was being celebrated in the Letterman shul next door. I'm going to wish Mazel Tov, said, writes Batsheva. It's a little strange for me to say this, but I'm telling you what it says. Page 158 through 159, okay? Who's making a bris? Said Rabbitson Weintraub. Batsheva, I don't know why it says that. Replied she had no idea, but she liked to go to Simchas to say Mazel Tov. One of the Weintraub boys was about to come bar mitzvah. Batsheva told his mother. I don't know why it says that. I just feel uncomfortable saying it. I will bake a cake for the simcha. The day before the bar mitzvah, one of the Kanievsky children showed up at the Weintraub's apartment bearing a large cake. A few minutes later, another one was delivered. Another one, another one, another one. Rabbitson Weintraub ran upstairs to Batsheva. Why did you bake 5 cakes? This is much more than enough for all the guests who will come to the simcha. She replied with a smile. When I say 1 cake, I mean I'm sending 5 cakes. Then she, no, page 158 to 159, no exaggeration. And she has, so we have Liesh Almi Lismach. So when you say to a person who's going through a hard time, can I send supper? And they said, what are you talking about? We know what we're talking about. Even if they don't, and the Ribon Shalom also knows. Lama azavten es ha'ish, kir enelo v'yochal lachem. Then she hugged and kissed her friend and wished her mazel tov. A pattern was thereby set. For all the subsequent Weintraub bar mitzvahs, Batsheva baked all the cakes, and there was always more than enough. The Kanievskys did not own an oven until 1967. Even then, all of her cakes were baked on a stovetop in a special pot known as a seer pella. Seer is a pot. We just had it in Rashi. Seer habasar. Exactly. That's exactly right. That's what it says. A wonder pot. This Israeli invention was originally invented in the 50s during the great period of poverty. The state was just founded to meet the needs of Israelis who could not afford an oven. The Weintraubs were not the only beneficiaries of the Rabbitson's culinary assistance. Many neighbors recalled receiving large, delicious, home-baked kugels for their simchas. Batsheva baked all the, I don't know why I keep saying that, baked all the kugels for the simchas of Rav Yitzchak and Pera Waldman. Parentheses. Mrs. Waldman had someone else bake the cakes. So the Rabbitson did the kugels. The Rabbitson checked in several times before the bar mitzvah to make sure the Waldmans had everything they needed and also sent her daughters to assist in preparation. So I don't know if this is the last year of food. I think, but I never know. But I think it gives a very, very different perspective. And it teaches us that, yes, you're going to have the battle with the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah Tov. You're going to have the inner, you're going to have the outer. You're going to have, you know, the, I don't know, kiwi to choose from and the chocolate fondue with bananas and checked strawberries. We're going to have that inner and external battle. But Lamaisa, we've proven from many Torah sources, Torah Shabichtav, Torah Shabalpah, and stories of our Gedolim, and our own vignettes, that food is much more than just lechem. Lo meid cham, it teaches people about warmth in yahadus. Shel chen, your table's a table of grace when you include other people in it. Seuda is somech ani delis. Open your door and sustain a poor person. And ultimately, hashleich al shem yahavacha, cast upon God your burden, v'hu yichal kalecha, ultimately sustenance is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I thank the Fluent family so much for their sponsorship of these Divrei Torah. I thank Hashem for the Parshas Shavua. I thank my friend who's sending me Shabbos. I thank all of you for learning with us, Zoom and in person. I thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for his Torah. Ma'ahavti sarasecha, kol hayom hisichas. You have a wonderful Gevaldik Shabbos. Enjoy the Parsha. When you hear these psukim being read, you'll think of our shir. Thank you so much, everybody. Besuras tovos.